And now it gives me great pleasure to introduce our 10-minute speaker, but I first, I want to know that she stepped up the last minute to pinch hit, being the 10-minute, and that she's got enough on her plate because she's getting married next week. So I'd really like to welcome Anna P. from Arroyo Grande. Because we have a man who traveled a long way who needs to share too. So I can't be greedy, I gotta share. Anyway, Anna Alcoholic. Hi everybody. I was actually signed up to do this next month, and again, some things changed, and so Brenda asked me if I could up it to today, which kind of worked out good because I have all kinds of things going on, and it doesn't give me too much time to think about next month and what am I gonna say when I get up here. Welcome newcomers. You're in the right place. It might not feel that way, but you certainly are in the right place. And you might not realize it now, but a lot of these people will become really close friends and actually really family. At least that's what's happened to me. My sobriety date is January 28th, 2012. I have been here 7 years. Just the other day, I got 7 years. This is my first round in Alcoholics Anonymous. There's always yets out there, so what I have to do today is stay really in the center of the herd. Where I come from, I'm going to keep that part really short because I tend to go where it all began, in the womb. So, you know, and I joke around about that because sometimes it's actually kind of funny because my mom threw that in my face a lot, that she was actually sitting on a bar stool when she went into labor with me, so it really did start when I was in the womb. But let me tell you another little piece of that story is my mom was a very, very angry alcoholic, untreated alcoholic, mother of nine, I'm number eight. She was miserably lonely and a lot of fear and really, really angry. And so she reminded me often that I wasn't meant to be. My sister used to joke around, and I never really understood it. I didn't understand it then, but my sister used to say my mom was a poster child for birth control. Because she should have never had kids. You know, there's a lot of craziness that happens in a home of alcoholics. And only now, because I am an alcoholic, and I have this program that I get to live by, and I have people in these rooms that are my family, and I have a sponsor that keeps me in check, and I go to meetings, and I do the do. I work with others. Do I understand how deep this disease is and how hard it is, how painful? I didn't know when I was in the center of it growing up, so let me just backstep real quick. I did grow up in Lincoln Heights down in Los Angeles, which I typically call the Mexican ghetto. I did grow up in projects. We moved very, very often. We never lived anywhere more than a year, so that, you know, being in itself was the beginning of never really having roots, you know, and feeling that uncomfortable feeling of having to connect with people, moving to a new place. You know, nothing's worse, I think, from my experience, than to have to start a new school over and over. And that, you know, you go to these schools where most kids are situated, and so they have their little buddies. And that was really hard. It was really lonely, to be honest with you. And I think back, and it makes me just kind of get emotional sometimes, because I was really, truly alone. My brothers and sisters, my brothers spent a lot of time in jails, and so they were in and out of prisons, and my mom spent a lot of time in the bars. And so it was my sister, who's 3 years older than me, who took care of me, and my little brother, who's 3 years younger than me. Margie was only about 7 or 8 years old, so she took on a lot of responsibility for a little girl. That sister also has untreated, you know, she has her own things going on. She's out there somewhere in the hills, really, literally living in the hills. There's a lot that took place from the time, that whole growth process. I married young, and I have four kids today, and I have three grandchildren, and I have a fourth on the way. You know, going through those years of that instability, dysfunction, lack of trust, there was a lot of domestic violence in our home. Again, my brothers were gangbangers, and typically probation officers and cops always came banging down our doors looking for my brothers, and It didn't really end in peace. It usually was my mom on top of a cop fighting a cop while my brother was trying to fight the other cop. It was craziness. It was crazy. And I'm not a fighter. until I started drinking. We'll get to that after. But my entire life, I consider myself a little sissy lava. You know, I wasn't a fighter. People break out in fights and I run. I was scared because that's what I grew up in. So I didn't have any good examples growing up. I didn't know how to love or let anybody love me because my space was violated from the get-go. I'm really open with the fact that I was physically abused, sexually abused, mentally, emotionally, and all the other stuff underneath the table. That is part of my story because that, in the end, became an asset for me, and I'll get to that. Anyway, fast forward, I wasn't really an active alcoholic per se. I was, like they describe in the book, I was that woman who kind of like went off like quick in 2.5 years. However, when I did do my inventory and reflected back, I did realize that when I drank, I didn't drink like a normal person. I loved when I came into Alcoholics. They said it wasn't how much you drank or what you drank, it's what you did when you drank. And let me tell you, those mornings were freaking pretty hard. First of all, trying to piece together the pieces or knowing what I did and wish I didn't remember what I did. And it was never really ladylike. It wasn't anything like that. So the trouble was there. I think I was just a little time bomb just kind of brewing. So anyway, I did marry, I married in high school, had 2 kids, graduated in high school because I was determined not to prove my mom right because my mom was right there. Yo sabía que no iba a saber lo igual. You know, you're going to get pregnant, you're going to end up on welfare, and you're going to pay me rent and sleep with your brother in that room over there with your husband. She was just very, very controlling and manipulating, and I couldn't do that. I escaped, you know. That husband at the time was 18 and I was 16, and he supported us on a Burger King income. We didn't go on welfare. It just wasn't happening. I did marry again, and I had 2 more kids, and was there 17 years. I like to share my part of my relationships because I have had such an amazing experience these last 7 years learning how much I didn't know. but you know what? Giving myself that little bit of love, because I shared this the other day. I did not know what love was. You know, you get romantic, you're all boo-boo kitty and all that, and, you know, you're floating angels. And, oh, here, let me feed you. But my teachers was not my mom, because my mom brought home men from bars. My mom never had anybody stay. They actually left because they feared their life. My dad left. My dad left before I was like 6 months old. He left. I don't know who my dad is. My birth certificate says father unknown. My mom wouldn't even give me his name. She was just so controlling. But my teachers of love was, Barbara Streisand love stories. Any kind of The Notebook, it's still not over. Titanic, My Heart Will Go On. She Let Go of Jack. My idea of love was movies, you know, and my idea of love was romantic songs. You know, I can't live if living is without you. That shit is all I knew, you know. And my idea of a family life was the Brady Bunch. I liked Ozzy and Harriet, even though I was a little young, but Ricky Nelson was so cute. But, you know, it was the movies. It was TV or it was radio. That's where I had my teachers. And it was not until I came into the room of Alcoholics Anonymous and this program started tearing me apart piece by piece. I come into Alcoholics Anonymous. Here, let me backtrack because I get all crazy. At the end of my drinking, let's just say this. At the end of my drinking, I had moved to the Central Coast to pursue a dream of living near the ocean because that was my dream. I thought if I ever lived near the ocean, my life would be amazing. I did do a lot of geographics in my life, and this was the last one, was moving here. Which, real quick on that one, I learned here too, you know, you can move wherever the hell you want to, but if I'm taking me with me, the problem's still with me. So that's what I learned when I came here. I came to the coast, and this is where my alcoholism took off. I was with somebody at the time that I tried to kill numerous times when I drank. I have a pin in my elbow because I was chasing him with a knife one time, and thank God I don't know how to throw because I'd be in jail right now. But you know, I share that story because some of the people in here know this damn story. Stop looking at me like that, Troy. Because the story was, it was 5 o'clock in the evening, I was already on a roll drinking, and I don't know what it was, but when I drank the drink, I just wanted to have fun, and I don't know what happened, and I don't know one too many sips or what, but I didn't know what my personality was going to be like when I started drinking, you know? I just needed that drink to go down my throat right quick to just make me feel that warmth. And this one particular night, and several others, but this one night, it was in the evening, and I got tipsy quick, and I was chasing him outside, trying to stab him with a knife and throwing it at him. And the next day I wake up and my arm's all swollen and I don't know what happened. And he said, "You can't remember." And I'm like, "I don't know what happened." He said, "You were trying to stab me with a knife and you were chasing me through the parking lot in your underwear." And like any alcoholic, right, I look to see what underwear I'm wearing because, hello? You can't be running out there with Grandma Joanie's. Can't fail. And then freaking 5:30, somebody's making dinner and watching me run by the window. Oh my God. You know, there's a lot of those kind of stories. Humiliating, oh my God, demoralizing, humiliation, demoralizing. There's a lot of those stories, man, and I tried hard to forget them. But you know what, I'm just gonna say, when I had my moment of clarity was when I went to my kitchen sink one day. I was on a roll. Oh, look at 10 minutes already. Anyway, let me just tell you, I got to my kitchen sink and I was gonna drink a cup of water and my hand shook so bad I couldn't put it to my mouth. At that very moment was the very first moment that I admitted that, "God, I can't do this, please help me." My God intervened and got into my life, and I walked in, actually I crawled into Serenity. I've been a member of Serenity and Mesa and Village and everywhere I can get my feet into, because that's what this program teaches me. You get yourself into any room you can. If you find a room that doesn't feel comfortable, you go to another one. Because there's all kinds of people in here that are exactly where you newcomers have been. This is where we've all been. So if you take a good look around the room, we were just as hopeless as you feel. Today I have a lot of hope. Today I have a lot of good stuff in my life, and it's not the material stuff. I came in here a crazy, broken Mexican woman who thought I'd never be lovable and I'd never be any good. And today I am lovable. And today I respect myself, and it's not about what I have on the outside. Today I get to live my life from the inside out. And that's the most important thing for me, because when I came in here, like I said, I didn't have any of that. And you all continue to teach me that by examples. And I'll just end real quick with this. If you have a sponsor and you're not feeling like you're growing, you need to get another sponsor. Sponsors are here to help you to grow and to learn. And it's not a personal matter. It's not a popularity contest. It's life or death. And so sponsorship, steps, meetings, working with others, being of service, that's what keeps me from going nutty, and that's what keeps me happy. So anyway, anybody want to hear more of my story? We'll have breakfast.
Let's give Anna a little round.